Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Cloud Native, the Good, the Bad and the Ugly podcast. The idea behind this podcast is to chat with people in the Cloud Native space that are either working there or are part of communities and to talk about various topics, what brought them there, in which communities they are active, which projects they work for. And also to talk about the things that nobody or really want to talk about because they are a little bit controversial. And for this very first episode, I got here to the DevFest in Hamburg, which is organized by the various GDGs in Hamburg. And with me, I have one of the organizers and a really, really good friend of mine that I met 2017 in Sunnyvale, California, but who is Hamburg resident, Guus. Hi.
Moin Mario and happy to be here.
So first of all, DevFest. What is DevFest? So for I think a lot of people don't know what DevFest is. So what is DevFest and why are you doing this?
What is the DevFest? The DevFest is a conference driven by the community, for the community, non-profit, and mainly organized by local GDGs. Yet another term. What is a GDG? A Google Developer Group. So we're having several GDGs in Hamburg, for example. I'm the lead of the Go and Cloud GDG here in Hamburg, but we're also having a Google Developer Group, which is focused on mobile, and we're having also the general GDG, which is covering all kinds of Google-related technologies in the group. And yeah, we are some crazy folks who love to organize events, and once a year we're then collecting all our speakers and trying to organize a new conference which is low budget and focused on the community and inviting, for example, also you, Mario, as GDE, so a Google developer expert.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me. And maybe to give a little bit of backstory, the GDG program is actually the reason why we each other met. And to give also a little bit of funny backstory as well, because of this, I also got my job at my current company, because basically Guus said, yeah, here's someone that is looking for a job, and this is my old company, go there. And now I am basically the new Guus in the company.
The Bavarian Guus.
the Bavarian Guus, yeah. Yeah, and this was already also 3 years ago, but naturally you're not only doing community work, you're also doing other stuff and other stuff as well. So you work for a company called Moya. What does Moya do?
So Moya is a subsidiary of Volkswagen, and we are offering ride pooling service. What is a ride pooling service? So you want to go from A to B in a city like Hamburg and don't want to spend all the money for a classical taxi, but you're also not convinced, or there's also no good option for going by public transit, then you maybe order Moya. So our vehicle's having 6 seats, and we're driving you from A to B based on some virtual stops, so we're not a door-to-door service. And our focus is also on pooling folks. So if another people is want to take also a trip from C to D, and there's a part of this track could be shared, then we try to pool you with other folks so that we're having high rate on our bringing as much people in one vehicle as possible to reduce the actual traffic on the streets. And yeah, right now we are available in Hamburg and also in Hannover. Might be coming more later the next years.
This brings us now back to the topic. What is your background then with cloud, or how does cloud or cloud native come into the picture in this field?
So yeah, my position at Moya is a platform engineer and a chapter lead, and as part of the cloud solution domain, so on my day-to-day work in the platform engineering team or cloud solution domain, we are using all kind of cloud native technologies like Kubernetes, where I have a strong background, but also for our observability stack, we're using Grafana, or Prometheus, which is a CNCF project, and also big fan of Go, which back in the days brought me in general to Kubernetes. And we are running on a public cloud provider, AWS in our case. That's my daily doing in the cloud native part, and also stuff like Terraform is also there and all kinds of projects.
So when you mention public cloud sector, you said that you're focused on single cloud. Was this a company decision, or is this the way you would normally go? Because there's always this talk like, hey, we need to spread across different clouds. There's to minimize risk and stuff like this. And was this ever any consideration, and how you see it from your perspective in this case?
That's a nice question. I'm coming to the controversial topics. So as we already talked about, or you already said, you somehow replaced me, or now the new goose. So I'm also worked as a cloud consultant back in the days for your current employee. And there we also had this multi-cloud topic quite often. And when I joined Moya, there was already the decision said that we are only doing single cloud and are fine with some kind of vendor login, which you might have if you're going single cloud, and especially like we do, also using a bunch of managed services. So not only Kubernetes platform, we're also using Lambda and stuff like that. And back to the question, is it a good decision? Is it a bad decision? Typical consultant answer, depends on. We are really small platform team, so we're having in the cloud solution domain two teams. One is focused on developer experience. The other one, where I'm part of, is focused on the infrastructure team part. And we're only 6 people. And we are managing above 120 AWS accounts right now, a Kubernetes cluster, and we're doing quite good job, I would say, for just 6 people, but it also requires a bunch of domain knowledge, especially when you're going the managed service way. And I guess having multiple clouds under control, yeah, every cloud provider is somehow the same, but you still need some kind of domain knowledge in that area. Some specialties, especially when it comes to permission management, stuff like that. And we are quite fine with only doing AWS. And to be honest, all those benefits of having multi-cloud was never required on our side. So yeah, there was already, we already had incidents, for example, where one location in AWS was on fire, literally, a few years ago. But we catched it all with AWS itself. So we didn't have the requirement on having multiple clouds. And right now, as I said, we are only offering our service in Hamburg and Hannover, so only in the Europe. So there's also no requirement for also having cloud provider like Alibaba Cloud. So right now, we are quite happy with the solution of decision of only going one cloud provider, and don't expect to migrate to multiple clouds.
I see it in a similar way. I mean, from my background perspective, it's always, of course, better to have multi-cloud. But I mean, it depends heavily on the use case, and comes to the point where you say, like, how much workload do I actually have, right? So how much workload do I deploy? So am I talking about workload that really needs to be stretched because it's critical infrastructure? And I mean, there were incidents this year where whole regions of different cloud providers went down for some extended period of time, which brought problems everywhere. I mean, there are companies that are going back to their own data centers and building their on-prem services. But also, if your overhead just exceeds the benefit that you have from it, this make no sense for you to do, right? So this is something that you always should take into consideration. And this general advertisement, you have to go multi-cloud, or you have to go single cloud, or you have to go into the cloud, for example, which is also like really interesting topic, is it's the consultant answer that you gave should always be considered. It depends. It depends on the case. And there are pros and cons. And when you look in the future, and you said that you will expand into different new cities and stuff like this, I mean, then new requirements come into place for sure. And would you also think about going into on-prem data centers, or would you rather say like, no, because we want to rely on those managed services that the public clouds provide for us?
there is no real good answer to that question, because that also again depends highly. Right now I would say we would try to stay with AWS, so single cloud and managed services, but it also is somehow the requirement of how we in future want to operate our service, which is not set in stone so far, so nobody knows. There might be requirements where we, depends on the market also, where we might need to go on-prem or using different cloud providers, but right now we are not having any plans to do that.
And when you said that you are a Go programmer, got into Go and then got into Kubernetes because of this, be honest, are you still doing programming work in your day-to-day job, or is it, have you moved away from the fun stuff?
To be honest, it becomes quite less programming tasks in my day-to-day job. And even the YAML tasks, so the infrastructure part, is getting less and less. As I already mentioned, I'm now a chapter lead, which is a people manager position. I try to get my hands dirty from time to time, but it gets more and more harder.
Do you miss it?
From time to time, yeah. And I guess every one of us have some personal side projects to at least to do some coding, but this typical pattern with side projects is you're starting super active and do the first weekend of coding, and afterwards it gets less and less, and you already own the domain for your side project. And after a year, after they recharge you for the domain, you think, oh, there was this nice project I once started. And
yeah, I think we all have those 500 dead side projects lying in any old repository or old folder of your system. Would you say that when you, this is especially for people that try to get into DevOps or cloud native space, would you say that actually helped you, or it was more beneficial that you had knowledge of Go before you got into the DevOps space? Or would you say like you could also go into like Kubernetes administration and stuff like this without having the Go background?
From my point of view, I guess you could also get at least on the operations part of Kubernetes without having Go knowledge. In my case, it was that my Go mentor somehow was a guy with a strong operations background, and at the company we worked at that time where I learned Go, we not really had an operations team, so we really needed to do DevOps, whatever that means, to be honest. So we as developer, where I'm having a strong background, really need also to take care of bringing our product applications live.
Yeah, run and your own shit.
Yeah, write your own shit. We also started our first Go project there, and my so-called mentor also introduced me to, hey, you could also use the APIs of the cloud providers and bring all that stuff live and write your own tooling for that. And that was not really the point where Kubernetes had so much track. I guess Kubernetes was already out there, but just the first teams or companies tried it out, used it, besides the really big ones. So, but yeah, at some point I saw it, so all the issues or problems we tried to solve our own were somehow already solved with an orchestrator like Kubernetes. And maybe not everyone is aware these days, but back in these days, there were quite a bunch of orchestrator out there. So Kubernetes wasn't the only solution.
I think it took quite some time that Kubernetes became the dominant one. And I would still say that Kubernetes is the most dominant provider for this that you can find. Also, it's one of the biggest projects that is alive and kicking, I would say. And I mean, for good or worse, when you look into the future, I mean, you have your infrastructure, you run your stuff on Kubernetes clusters. How would you say, like, in which direction are we going when we look into the next 5 years? So, I mean, AI is an ever upcoming topic. So how do you think your infrastructure will change because of things that evolve in this field?
Yeah, so especially for Moya, I guess we get more and more in the direction of more managed services and less self-maintained Kubernetes. So I'm right now a big fan of GCP One, but there's also pendant in AWS with App One, I guess it's called. So really having a real managed container orchestrator without need to touch any kind of Kubernetes. I guess that's at least for the major companies the way to go. Where I'm suspicious about is the next to the whole ML machine learning world, which is not so much my topic, but I'm super curious what's coming with all this WebAssembly stuff right now, because they're also having a same offering like containers, so good isolation, you can spread your workload, and then the language agnostic part. So I'm curious what's coming there in that area next.
Have you already dived into some of those topics?
So as a Go developer, and Go already got support for WebAssembly 3-4 years ago, so you can just compile your application to a WebAssembly artifact, which is not super fast and also not super slim. So not the best solution right now because you need the whole runtime. But yeah, I already tried it out, digged a little bit into it. Also in the Hamburg community for the cloud native area, there are this year, especially this year, several talks in the direction of WebAssembly. So more and more companies getting to it, adopting it, and trying it out. We are sadly not so far, but I guess also when it comes to somehow edge computing, stuff like that, might be quite interesting topic.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, there are conferences popping up around WebAssembly, or at least additional conference days just focused on this topic. So this will be quite interesting in the years to come in which direction this will go. But I mean, we have to be honest, and we are in Germany, and Germany is not really the fastest country for innovation and adopting of new technologies. I mean, which was quite curious at DevFest. So I gave a talk about AI-powered DevOps the other day, and I did a show of hands, which is always shocking to me when you do this in Germany, and it's not a container conference or a Kubernetes-focused conference, and asked like, how many of you are using Kubernetes, or how many of you are using Kubernetes in a production environment? I mean, this is still something how you need to differentiate between, are you really using Kubernetes or are you just playing around with it? And the answer was like, of I think it was roughly 50 people, 4 or 5 people show of hands that are using Kubernetes in production. And I mean, it's always this bubble, right? So when you're on a container conference or when you're on a Kubernetes conference, it's like everyone is Kubernetes, and Kubernetes is the established thing and it's the big thing. And when you have like this mixed audience, it's kind of, yeah, it's there. People are aware of it, but it's not that everyone knows about it, right? And when we have the next thing, which would be WebAssembly, how long does it take actually to get adopted in Germany? What are things that we as a community can do to push new things or to make new things like this more publicly known?
I guess something we can do as community, especially like on those events like the DevFest, where we're really having a broad audience, so application developer, maybe also mobile and web developer, also some kinds of product owners from time to time, and the designer, to make them aware of those new technologies. As you already said, we might be already a little bit biased, especially in the Kubernetes area, because we're doing it for years now, and for us it's already getting boring. Many companies now starting their Kubernetes journey. So
there was the saying at, I think it was KubeCon this year in Amsterdam, was like, we made it, Kubernetes is finally boring. There was a saying at the Contributor Summit, find kind of nice.
Yeah, so as I said, it's might be boring for us, but I guess there's also a bunch of developers and companies out there which are now right now starting their Kubernetes journey, and there, I guess, a bunch of learnings from them or for them. So for them, it might be not that boring right now. They're having to do all the learnings which we already did years ago, or all the stuff we already get over the years and supported and run into already and know how to solve. So, yeah, but I guess it will take another 5 to 10 years before we're seeing the really next big thing, at least in the infrastructure part. So when we're talking about WebAssembly and orchestrating WebAssembly workload, stuff like that. And also my observation, at least for the peers I know, is that I guess a bunch of companies now really also jumping back to this single cloud topic and using managed service. So technologies like, in that case, mostly Lambda or Cloud Functions or Azure Functions, I guess it's called.
Yeah, and Cloud Run, when you just run one container, yeah.
Not jumping into the Kubernetes lake in general, because they might be already seeing that they're not really having the need to abstract all that cloud-specific stuff when they're fine with, as I said, doing single cloud.
Yeah, or they don't have the expertise, as we figured out. It. I mean, it's hard to get people in this field, and it's hard to get people. Also, what I found is it's hard to get people to learn new stuff, because it's like, hey, we've been doing things this way for years and it worked. Why should we change the way how we do things? And I think this is still also like bad thing that is in our Kubernetes, or not in our Kubernetes community, but in our general developer community. It's like everyone is like, yeah, what's the new shit? But there are a lot of people that just don't want to go into it. And I mean, even when you look at it in from a security aspect, because we have still security concepts that are based on old IT infrastructure, right? And not like cloud native IT infrastructure. And then you basically argue with your enterprise IT security about the amount of IP addresses that you get for nodes, although you don't care about the nodes or something like this.
Oh yeah. So when it comes really to the learning new things and adapting new technologies, I guess we are now right now in the wrong place, because we are on a dev fest. People join those events to expand their knowledge and getting to know new technologies. But yeah, I also did several Kubernetes workshops for customers. And when you then jumping into a group of people who are not so open to new technologies, or really starting with arguing, are we doing that for already 20 years and it worked? Yeah, but you have to adopt all the new market requests, requirements. You might want to scale out, and that's quite hard with your default pattern right now. At least have a look, but sometimes it's just a people problem, not a technology problem.
Yeah, this is very, very true. When you would say that I'm a new person and I want to get into cloud stuff or Kubernetes stuff or WASM, what would you tell people, in your case, for example, in Hamburg, what they should do?
First of all, join the communities. Besides that, I guess there are plenty of, so especially when it comes to cloud stuff, all the major cloud providers having free tiers where you can just try out the offered technologies. They also, I guess, nearly every major cloud provider has some learning platforms. Use them, get your hands dirty, try it out, play around with it. Just deploy a Hello World application to Cloud One and how it works, and then trying to bring your own ideas live. And as said, yeah, community work is also quite beneficial. You get to know other folks which you can ask. And if you're not that person who loves to do in-person events, there's also a bunch of communities like the CNCF Slack channel where you can just reach out, where every major CNCF project is represented, and just ask there for, if you're having problems, for your problem statement, if you want to get started with new technologies for learning platforms, there's a bunch out there these days. So we are having a good time right now when it comes to self-learning.
That's very, very true. And I mean, as you said, joining those communities also helps you to expand the people that you know. And basically, that's also the main reason why I founded back in 2016 GDG Cloud Munich, because basically it was like, hey, there's a AWS user group. Hey, there's an Azure user group, but there's no Google user group in Munich for Google Cloud. And I had to work with Google Cloud and I run into some issues and I thought like, I can't be the only person that have this problem. And then we started GDG Cloud Munich. And basically, if I look back now, this is now the reason why I work for the employer that I work for now. This is the reason why I'm here. This is the reason why I know you. So it's really funny because basically this created or this influenced the last 7 years of my career, basically, or of my professional life, which is kind of crazy just by, hey, I have a fucking problem with the cloud.
Yeah, mainly same for me. So I can't remember when I started. So I started with the GDG Go as a co-organizer and at some point took it over. And I guess that helped me in my professional life quite good because I built a network. Now folks who are looking for new people, I could recommend them. From time to time, I'm also jumping into the position myself. So it really sparks joy, bring you forward. You're seeable. You build trust to people, and that's quite cool and really sparks joy. And it's mainly community work really sparks joy.
Yeah, I agree. And the good thing is that it's the second day of the Dev Fest now, and you know that, or you see that people are getting tired, like really tired. But we have already beer, which is quite nice. So we already have our beer with us. So we are getting close to the end. I think we still have 2 more hours to be around here, and it's really nice because the feeling of a Dev Fest is, it's not like this big conferences where you're like, hey, I go to this talk and I go to this talk, but I don't know everyone. Like there are conferences with 5,000, 10,000 people, or even 1,000. Even when you're at the conference with 1,000 people, it's already hard to connect with the people. And when you go here through the rooms, it's nice because you see everywhere people chatting. You basically, you have to remind people that there are talks still ongoing and then you shouldn't be that loud. It also, you see that they are connecting, right? They are doing exactly this. They are talking to each other. And I mean, I had a chat with a TypeScript developer like half an hour ago or something like this. And because I quit working in JavaScript because I despise TypeScript, it was never for me. And then I got into more or focused more on the infrastructure part, but it was nice chatting with those folks and getting what happened in the last years in this sector where I basically disconnected. And also people are way opener to each other, and it's more like family conference. And I must say I'm really happy to be here. And I mean you have like 275 people,
something like that, yeah,
which is organized by just people that do it in their free time without getting any money for it and just doing it for the sake of
whatever. Yeah, so to be honest, after it's like every bigger event you organize, the days before you're really getting tired and asking yourself why I am doing that. And to be honest, when I'm at home this evening, I will just remember all the good parts. It really took a bunch of energy the last weeks, especially the 2 days of the event itself. But when you're seeing all the joy, and it's really people like it, enjoy it, they're communicating, they're consuming new stuff, they're teaching each other and stuff like that. And when you're getting all that feedback, and after 2 days you're really pushed again, and I'm pretty sure we have another Dev Fest next year. Even if it was the last days, super stressful and energy consuming.
Yeah, so next year when you are around in Hamburg, and Dev Fest season is usually beginning of October until following year February or something like this, keep a lookout. And there is also a website that I always forget. It's, I think.
So we're having the Hamburg specific website, which is hamburg.devfest.de. I guess, but there's also, if you're checking out the GDG site, so the Google Developer Group site, when I'm not wrong, list of all organized Dev Fests. So also in your local community?
I think there are a couple of hundred deafs around the globe, so you don't necessarily need to be in Germany. But it's nice in Hamburg. And it didn't rain, which is unusual for Hamburg.
Yeah, the weather is a little bit too good today. We're missing some people.
Yeah, that's right. So some people didn't make back because of there was sunshine today. Anyway, Guus, it was nice talking to you. It was nice being here at the DevFest. Thank you for your time. And we will see each other hopefully soon, because the last time we saw each other was on the Christmas market in Munich.
Yeah, so it was nice to be here. Also super happy as an organizer of the DevFest to have you for two talks in one workshop. So really high contribution to that DevFest, and enjoy the KubeCon US.
Thank you for listening to this first episode of the Cloud Native, the Good, the Bad and the Ugly podcast. The next episode will be recorded live at KubeCon with Volkmar and Enrico as guests from SVA.